Chapter 19. At bedtime, Nori snuck a still-sleeping Rory into the cabin and under the covers. Exhausted from her first day on the planet, Rory slept through the night quietly. Nori did too. In the morning of her last day at Dragonhaven, she tucked the baby dragon gently into her duffel bag while she got dressed and brushed her teeth, making sure Rory stayed hidden from Ms. Starr. Then she pulled on her same dirty hoodie from yesterday and tucked Rory back into the pocket. The sky was clear and blue. The storm had washed everything clean. Dragonhaven was as beautiful as ever, maybe more so. "I'll miss my bunk bed," Nori thought as she ate her scrambled eggs. "I'll miss this bacon," she thought as she ate her bacon, "and the waffle bar. I'll miss sleeping to the sound of dragons howling. I'll miss brushing my teeth at a row of identical sinks. I'll miss the meadow and the kitten ball green and the paths and the lake with its bubble dragons." She dragged her duffel bag over to the bus. Nurse Riley was already busy loading the luggage compartment. "I'll miss you, Curb. I'll miss you, picnic table." Nori hadn't seen Father yet this morning, but she spotted Mitali and called her over. "It was so fun hanging out," she told Mitali as they clasped hands. "Give me your email." Mitali did. "Maybe if you come home to visit, we can see each other? I live in the dorms when school is in session." "Absolutely," Nori said. "I'll miss you, Mitali." They hugged goodbye. Nori left the parking lot and walked a little way into the forest, away from the prying eyes of Ms. Starr and Nurse Riley. On the woodland path, she let Rory out for a walk. Rory stretched like a puppy and then flapped and blurped about quite happily. "I'll miss you most of all, Rory." Tip appeared on the path from the boys' cabins. He approached Nori with his shoulders hunched and his hands jammed into his pockets.
"Excuse me," he said. "Can I talk to you?"
Nori bristled but nodded.
"I'm sorry about last night," explained Tip. "What I said about Dr. Horace. Your, dad."
Nori waited, arms folded over her chest.
"I didn't realize he was your dad, but I still shouldn't have said what I said. Imitating him and everything."
"It was pretty rude," said Nori.
"I like to make people laugh, that's all. And I don't want people laughing at me, because I'm so short, so sometimes I... Well, I shouldn't have. I'm sorry."
"Yeah, I guess so. Apology accepted."
Tip crouched down.
"Is that your whelp? Can I pet it?"
"Sure," said Nori. "Go ahead."
Tip scratched Rory's tiny head. Nori half expected him to scold her, to tell her she had to tell Mo about the whelp. He didn't. He rose to his feet and said,
"What Dr. Horace did, making the walls invisible and stuff, that was excellent. And he does care about the school. I can tell."
Someone cleared his throat. It was Andres, wearing his brick pack.
"We're almost ready to leave," he told Nori. "You have to say goodbye to Rory. Ms. Starr says so."
"Ms. Starr knows about Rory?"
Nori had kept the baby dragon hidden so well.
Everybody knows about Rory," said Tip. "All the fifth graders, anyway." "Marigold really, really cannot keep a secret," Andres said.
Nori smiled. It was true.
"We didn't tell the dragonologists, though. Or the sage teachers."
Andres bent down and patted Rory.
"It's gotta be hard to say goodbye. She's something."
Nori's eyes started to tear up.
"It is hard. She thinks I'm her mom. She doesn't have a mom."
"She can still go live with the tangerines," said Andres.
Nori started crying for real. She picked up Rory and cuddled the blurper.
"I don't know if I can say goodbye."
"I'll come with you," said Andres. "Come on, it's time."
Nori confessed to Mo about Rory. It was very, very awkward.
Mo wasn't mean about it, but she was not at all happy that Nori had kept a rare blurper in her hoodie and allowed it to eat spaghetti. But when Nori told Mo that she suspected her dritten was actually a blurper kitten, Mo got an excited glint in her eye. "Really?" Mo asked. "Can I see?" Nori nodded. She scrunched up her body and fluxed into a kitten. Then she felt her wings sprout. She shot into the air, Rory close behind her. After 2 minutes, Mo waved them back down. Nori popped back into girl form. "Wow," Mo said, nodding. "Yes, your dritten definitely has blurper characteristics. I wish I had known that you flux into a dritten earlier in your trip, so I could have observed you. Perhaps you could return to our reserve in the future?"
"I'd love to," said Nori.
Mo confirmed that Rory could indeed live with the tangerines. She drove them to the bridge overlooking Rock Garden Creek, the place where they'd flung the cantaloupes their first morning. They walked onto the bridge with Nori carrying Rory. They looked over at the mother with her two younger tangerines, super gigantic, rolling around like puppies, all three of them. They didn't need anyone. They didn't look like they wanted anyone either. Especially not a tiny blurper. Andres shielded his eyes with his hand.
"Look at Ernesto," he said, pointing. "All by himself, just like the other day."
Nori saw the dragon Andres was talking about. She hadn't noticed him last time, even though he was bigger than two elephants, because of how he tucked himself into a shallow cave made of rocks.
"He has no family," said Andres.
He sucked in a breath and turned to Mo.
"Hey, could Ernesto take care of Rory instead of the mama tangerine?"
"That's not a bad idea," she told Andres. "In fact, it's a fine idea, and certainly worth a try."
"Rory?" Nori said.
She gazed into the whelp's lollipop eyes.
"I have to go, and you have to stay here."
"Blurp!" Rory trilled.
"You belong here with the other dragons.
I belong back at Dunwiddle, that's my school, with other kids. And my Aunt Margot. You couldn't live there. You're not a pet, even if you do love me a whole huge amount." She felt a bit weepy.
"I have to say goodbye," Nori said firmly.
"I'm doing what's best for you, so that you can be the best Rory possible." She hugged Rory tight, then gave her to Mo. The dragonologist nodded and flew down into the rock garden with Rory in her arms. Nori and Andres held very still as they watched Mo set Rory gently next to Ernesto. Ernesto sniffed the tiny whelp, then lumbered to his feet and backed away. Rory tilted her head and made a curious trilling sound.
"Blurp!"
Ernesto watched her warily. One of the young tangerines ran by, followed by the other. The vibrations caused by their enormous bodies knocked Rory off balance.
"Blurp!"
she whimpered, sprawling.
"Blurp!"
Ernesto shook his enormous head at the young tangerines. He made a low, gravelly sound and took two gentle steps toward Rory. He bent down and sniffed her. She sniffed him back. Then Ernesto flopped onto his side, showing her his dragon tummy. Mo hovered over them.
"That's a sign of trust and friendship," she called to Nori and Andres.
Rory flapped into the air and flew a few feet to settle in next to Ernesto. She curled herself into a small ball and tucked herself in next to his neck, safe and protected from the rowdy tangerine family.
"She's going to be just fine," Mo said as she flew back to Andres and Nori on the bridge.
"They'll be good for each other, those two."
"I hope so," said Nori, gazing at Rory down in the rock garden. "Could I please have a minute by myself?"
"Andres and I will head to the jeep," said Mo.
We need to get back soon, though.
Nori's teardrops splashed onto the wooden railing. They were the good type of tears. She knew she was doing the right thing.
You'll make a new life for yourself, she said to Rory. You'll learn dragon stuff, 'cause you're a dragon. And you'll get taken care of by somebody who's going to be really, really good at it. I can tell. And I'll come back and visit. This summer, maybe.
Ernesto's dragon tail was thumping the way a dog's tail thumped when the dog was happy. Nori felt the air pressure change. She smelled coffee and sandalwood aftershave. Her father shimmered into view.
Ms. Starr said you were up here, he said. I wanted to say goodbye.
Tell Hawthorne I miss him roasting marshmallows for me by hand, said Nori. Tell Dahlia I miss how she makes me laugh.
I will. I know they'll be thrilled to hear of our unplanned reunion.
He looked thoughtful.
Your teacher, Ms. Starr, gave me an earful just now about parenting. All I asked was where I might find you, not what child-rearing books I should read. She is full of opinions and ideas, isn't she?
Nori nodded.
I suppose the same could be said of me, Father said.
Nori nodded again. Father ran his hand over his neatly trimmed hair.
I heard what you said just now, to the whelp.
Nori held still. Had he also seen her crying?
Your observations were smart, he said. And you're making a new life for yourself as well. You're learning skills to deal with your upside-down magic, because, like it or not, that's the magic you have.
I'm happy with my upside-down magic, Nori told him. I wouldn't trade it.
Father smiled and awkwardly patted her back. On the bus, Nori took a seat next to Andres, who held his brick pack in his lap.
Guess what I have, he said.
What?
Gummy unicorns. I found a whole bag of them at the bottom of my suitcase. My dad must have packed them.
Samboozle!
Andres popped the bag open, and Nori took two. The cherry gummies were sticky, but she put them both in her mouth anyway. After some fussing from Ms. Starr and Nurse Riley, and some grumbling from the bus driver because everyone was taking so long, the door finally hissed shut. The engine started, and the blue bus chugged down the driveway. Sebastian opened his window and let the sun bounce off his spiffy new aviator goggles. Nori leaned across Andres and opened their window. She stuck her hand out and waved.
Bye, Father, she cried. Bye, Anemone and Fred. Bye, Metalli. Bye, Dr. Nubley. Bye, Mo. Bye, Rory and Ernesto, even though I know you can't hear me. Goodbye. Goodbye.
When Nori could no longer see Dragonhaven at all, she shut the window. She stared straight ahead. Then she looked around, taking in the world around her. The day was bright. Willow was laughing with Marigold. There were a lot of unicorn gummies to share. Ms. Starr started singing, "This Land is Your Land," and Nurse Riley joined in. Pretty soon everybody joined in, even Bax. The sun shone through the window, and Nori closed her eyes and let it warm her cheeks. She felt warm inside, too. Also, sadder, happier, wiser, friendlier, dirtier, and ready to be heading home.